On Mondays, I never feel even an ounce of fatigue when I walk through the doors to the high school. I've been an English teacher for nearly 15 years, and I still enjoy my classes. For an hour, I am the center of attention. I am in control. My voice fills the space. I'm also a French-English translator for a publishing house. Maybe this double life is what has kept my passion for teaching intact. In the teacher's parking lot, I see the principal. We chat for a few minutes. Then comes the moment that I've been waiting for. He asks me how my husband is doing. I answer that my husband is doing well. Even after 13 years of marriage, that phrase still has the same effect on me. I tremble with pride when I announce, "My husband works in finance." In the teacher's lounge, when I tell my daughter's teacher in front of the school gates, "My husband will be picking up the children on Thursday." When I shop for pastries at the bakery and announce, "My husband placed the order on Tuesday." When I recount in a falsely nonchalant tone, when in reality I find it unbelievably romantic, "I met my husband by chance at a rock concert." My husband has no name. He is my husband. He belongs to me. Monday has always been my favorite day of the week. Sometimes it wears a deep royal blue, navy blue, midnight blue, Egyptian blue, sapphire blue. But more often, Monday takes on a practical blue, economical and inspirational, the color of Bic pens, my students' workbooks, and simple clothing that goes with everything. Monday is also the day of labels, resolutions, storage boxes, the day of smart choices and reasonable decisions. People have told me that loving Mondays is a brainiac thing, that only nerds are happy when the weekend is over. That might be true, but it comes back to my love of beginnings. I've always preferred the first chapters of a book, the first 15 minutes of a film, the first act of a play. I like starting points, when everyone is in their rightful place in a world that makes sense. Late in the morning, I read a text aloud to my students. Then I have them take turns reading. I write down vocabulary on the board, supplying them with the words they need. This position of power is exhilarating. In the piece we're reading today, one of the characters has the same name as my husband. My heart skips a beat each time I see it, or when one of my students says it aloud. Then we translate and discuss a couple's exchange of vows. My students are familiar with this Anglo-Saxon tradition because it's often shown on American TV shows and often interrupted by an ex-lover trying to win someone back. It's an opportunity to practice the use of the auxiliary verb, thanks to the much-wished-for answer of, "I do." As the last students leave the room, I open the windows to banish the end-of-class odor, a mix of sweat and whiteboard markers, of perfume that is overly sweet on the girls and overly musky on the boys. Teenage hormones go wild for the super-concentrated fragrances they sell in drugstores. Maybe that's the kind of perfume I should buy. For months now, I've been wearing a scent from a little-known perfumer that I'd hoped would be sensual, but turned out to be hopelessly bland on my skin. How do you know which perfumes are trendy when you're 16? I could come up with an exercise on the topic of scents and ask my students to describe their perfume. Instructive both for me, so I can pick out a new fragrance, and for them, to enrich their olfactory vocabulary.